Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
That should be our theme song. What if we just changed one note? It was like,
ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Could we get away with it?
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Would they sue us? For their publicity?
I don't think it's worth it.
You don't
think? No, I think we'd get away with it because they wouldn't want to pay the legal bills. Yeah. Legal bills.
But I'm sure I'm sure they have tons of money for that.
That's true.
I just don't know how to pivot into what we were talking about. We were going to talk about how we have a big family dinner coming up, and I've been tasked with baking cupcakes for our nephews. Apparently, our nephews have been asking for lemon cupcakes. I have the lemons, but what I don't have is any idea beyond that how to bake lemon cupcakes. I've never been much of a baker, and for all the reasons why I love cooking, I don't really like being so precise. And with baking, you have to be precise. And so I'm going to try it. I'm going to give it a shot. So if anyone has any good lemon cupcake recipes, send them our way. We'll give you the email later.
Let's give it now. lifeisshort@wondery.com.
Why not?
Whoa. Yeah, I mean, you might not be around later.
What?
You might not want to listen to the end of the show.
Oh, they might not be.
Yes.
Oh, okay. Wow.
You'll be around.
Yes, you're breaking precedent. That's not usually your vibe.
I'm feeling frisky.
Yeah, this is a new vibe for you.
Let's get into the show.
Okay. Oh, wow. A beginning vibe. Excited to begin vibe. I like that.
Life could be a dream. Life could be a dream. Doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-shaboom.
You're listening to Life is Short. I'm your host, Justin Long.
Life could be a dream, sweetheart. Do, 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 shaboom.
And with me as always is my brother. You have a brotherly vibe.
Can I offer some criticism?
Please, write it off the top.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah. Wow, you're really...
Well, but
it's mixing it up today.
It's not just criticism. It's a compliment and a critique.
Oh, even better.
It's what would that be? Competique.
Competique. Yeah.
You are. I think you're an excellent cook.
Oh, thanks.
Really good, and like you've gotten a lot better over the last couple of years, even. But
it's a critiment.
I think you were listening. I can tell your eyes are floating away. You were you've become a very, very capable cook, I would say.
Oh, thanks.
But I don't think you're a good baker.
No.
And I think the reason is very...
I know I'm not.
It's very simple. Mm. And it's just because cooking, you're able to
yeah.
improvise
uh-huh.
and not be precise, not be exact,
yeah.
throw this and throw that in. And that kind of... works with your
yeah.
artistic.
It feels more artistic
energy.
Yeah, but baking feels like baking by numbers.
Baking is like science. Yes. Baking is math.
It's like I want to be in a lab coat with a beaker. Or
you
something.
Have to be exact
uh-huh.
with baking. Like,
you're right.
Like a teaspoon and a half.
Yes.
Of baking powder
yeah.
is a teaspoon and a half of baking powder, and yeah. if you don't do it, the whole thing could get fucked up.
I know. Especially bread. You know, bread is a very specific. It's like a science. It's
anything.
Like
cupcakes in this case.
Yeah, I know. Why are we talking about baking? Well, I'll answer myself.
I can answer for you.
Why?
Because we have a guest on the show today.
Yeah.
A guest who happens to be an excellent baker in her own right and an excellent host of an excellent show called Nailed It.
Nailed It. Well, you nailed that intro.
Nailed It is a terrific baking show on Netflix. It's been on for... four years now, maybe.
Yeah.
It's awesome. And she's been nominated for Emmys for it. So she's the host of the show. She does everything.
Uh-huh.
She is Nicole Byer.
She does
She
it all.
Has 1,000 podcasts, one of which is called Why Won't You Date Me?
Uh-huh.
She's a great one.
Yeah.
But she hosts so many podcasts.
It's just so many.
And she hosts so many shows.
She
hosts
Wipeout with John
Wipe
Cena.
Wipeout, yeah.
The aforementioned Nailed It. And of course, yes, she has a book out, hashtag Very Fat, Very Brave.
A very funny Netflix special
yep.
called
BBW, which stands for
Big, Beautiful Weirdo.
And we talk about that. We talk about the special and all the stuff she has going on. I never met her. I've been hearing her name, you know, in the ether.
I don't know how she has time to sleep at night.
She might be like, you know, who's the guy that doesn't sleep? I think a lot of really successful people can
Howard
get by.
Howard Hughes.
Howard Hughes didn't sleep. But Diddy?
Not Diddy. Oh, I thought you were asking Diddy.
No, did he sleep? No, P. Diddy. Sorry. Whose name now is...
Steve Diddy.
What's Diddy's name now? Did he or did he need change it to? Is it just love? I think.
Oh, love. I think love. So. I think so too.
He's love. So love, love. I've always thought of him as just love. That makes sense. Love doesn't sleep. Love doesn't love to sleep.
Love loves being awake.
Yes. And Nicole is, I would say, equally prolific.
She's everywhere. And now she's everywhere. Here.
Yes, on the show. So let's hear from her. Let's hear from our guest, the prolific, the ubiquitous Nicole Byer.
Life could be a dream, sweetheart. Do, 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 shaboom.
For all the shorties that want voluminous, fanned-out lashes, This ad is for you. The new L'Oreal Paris Panorama Mascara creates corner-to-corner panoramic lash volume. Their tapered brush catches every single lash, even those pesky corner lashes. You know who you are, corner lashes. With the Panorama Mascara, you'll easily achieve that effortless, false lashes look. It's one of Christian's favorite looks. Plus, it lasts up to 24 hours and is clump and flake resistant. And just when you thought it couldn't get better, it does. The Panorama Mascara is a lot more affordable than other luxe mascaras. And honestly, it probably does a better job. It's affordable, but it's deceptive because it comes in a premium gold luxe packaging. So if you want a mascara that can do it all, volumize, lengthen, and stay put all day, you can buy the Panorama Mascara on Amazon today. As a podcast listener, I'm sure you know that audio piques the imagination, like especially this show. So if you really want to feel like you're in the story, check out Audible's collection of brand new exclusive thrillers.
Their titles feature captivating sound design, eerie soundscapes, and dynamic performances. So you'll be kept on the edge of your seat.
Here's an interesting psychological thriller that is out right now. It's an Audible original. It's called Oracle. It follows an FBI psychic who can help solve missing person cases when he touches those close to the victims. But of course, it comes at a cost. He'll see the horrific moments before the victims disappeared.
Shorties, I just got chills. You have to listen along with me. You don't have to.
No.
But I think you should.
Yeah, it'd be fun. New members can try Audible free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/long or text long to 500-500. That's audible.com/long or text long to 500-500.
Hello, hello again. Shaboom and up and we'll meet again.
Whoopi is muted.
Sorry about that. Hi.
That's
hi.
Really funny.
You know, just keeping it silly.
Do you, are you used to, did you change it for everyone? Has it been Whoopi the whole time?
It's been Whoopi the whole time. My email is also Whoopi Goldberg. And I changed it for a reason that I cannot remember, like 8 years ago.
Uh-huh.
And my agents just answer me faster. And
yes,
well, it's worked out in my favor.
Nicole, I used my manager. I used to have the same manager as J-Lo, as Jennifer Lopez. And so but when I was starting out and I was obviously much lower priority. And so, but I would say, I would pretend to be like, a sassy assistant. And I would say, yes, I have J-Lo calling. And they'd be like, oh yes, right away. And I get somebody immediately, you know, and they'd be kind of like, they've had that like energy, the frantic energy. And I'd say, yeah, it's Justin Long. And I used to love to register the disappointment in their voices when they were, it was this J-Lo, Justin Long, J-Lo.
It's very funny. And yeah. I love that you did that.
It's funny now, Nicole, because now you are a known person. You're going to probably have to change that. It's going to get confusing when you're going to be corresponding with other people that do know Whoopi Goldberg, I presume. If not Whoopi herself.
Yeah, maybe. I don't care. I don't think I'll ever change it.
Oh, really?
It's just funny to me to have the Zoom be like, Whoopi Goldberg's waiting to get in. People are like, Whoopi.
Even though I know it's not you, it's like, it does add a little bit of extra pressure. Like, you can't keep Whoopi Goldberg waiting.
No. And people usually don't keep me waiting. They respond to my emails. It's delightful.
I bet. Now you know how Whoopi feels.
Yeah.
You're doing, okay, so you're hosting so many, you have your podcast, Why Won't You Date Me? I can't wait to talk about this. Nailed it. You host, you're doing so much. And I didn't even realize this, all of that stuff you're doing. You're also touring at the same time.
I slowed down this year. Because I was like, something has to give. I feel really overextended and a little crazy because the pandemic was one thing. But then 2021, everyone was like, we are vaccinated, full speed ahead. And I was like, wait, we're going from zero to like 1,000. Right. So it felt really overwhelming. And I was like, I think I need to take some time for myself and my own mental health. So I'm not touring right now, but I think in the fall I might go back out. And then definitely next year. I'm definitely ready. I just needed a break.
Yeah, you're right, Nicole. There was also a sense because things had slowed down. I mean, lifestyle wise, to the point where which in some ways, and I know everyone's probably sick of hearing people talk about this, but there was there's good and bad in that, and I found my own versions of both, but I found part of the good that I did find was that it was in slowing down. I really was able to. Breathe and take in the world and enjoy life a little bit more. I know I have the luxury of doing that. So I know this sounds so privileged, truly, but then you're right. It started up right away. And there was this sense of like, oh, now I don't know that I was after a couple of years, a year and a half, you don't feel mentally prepared to get back into the world. And again, caveat, privilege.
Like
I realize we are
very like, I was very thankful that I was able to podcast from home and work from home. But yeah, it was like being at home and then like, it was just like, this is shooting here. You're going to fly over here. You got to work over here. I shot my special Labor Day weekend when I had a 3-day weekend from the show I was shooting. And then
Big Beautiful Weirdo.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Which
okay.
is currently
Very
on
funny.
Netflix.
Yes. It's on Netflix.
I'm really proud
I have some
of
questions
it.
About it. You should be.
Thank you.
It's really funny. It's I have some questions about it because some of this stuff is so hard for me to believe, and I love hearing other people's experience. No, but I not to suggest that it's not true, but I had a question about the white people that texted you.
Mm-hmm.
Do people really did that?
Yes.
Okay, you got to explain this.
It was okay. So
to our mostly white audience.
So the summer of 2020, when there was tons of Black Lives Matters protests and we were all marching for the cause and every company in the world was like, we care about the black people. White people, for whatever reason, or non-black people, texted their black friends. They were like, if there's anything I can do, let me know. Or how are you feeling? Or I hope you're okay right now. And it was
so interesting,
really, really strange in a way where I was like, do you have another black friend? Because if you did and you were close to them and you said out loud, hey, I'm going to text Nicole, a girl I've interacted with maybe 8 times total to see if she's okay this summer. Like that black friend would be like, don't you dare. Don't do that.
Right.
That's insane.
Right. Hopefully you should have workshop. Yeah. You have to workshop something like that on a true black friend. That's funny. That's really interesting. What would you text back? What was the response to something like that?
I think I said to a lot of people that I was just like, oh, it's okay. Or like a thumbs up. I was, because it was just like
a yellow thumbs up.
Yeah. Just like a little yellow, non-racially.
Ethnic specific.
But it was just really interesting because it was like, okay, so we're in the midst of like one of the biggest kind of civil rights movements that we've seen since like the 60s, which isn't that far back. Like I have aunts and stuff who literally remember segregation. So like, it's crazy. And it's crazy that you only really see color, black and white photos of shit when it's like, this is only like 40, 50, 60 years ago. I can't do math, but it was just like, just so wild for people to see what's going on and then be like, oh, let me reach out. And then I just like, set it on stage to a bunch of white people, and they were like, mm-mm, didn't do it.
Proudly, I didn't do it. I'm proud I didn't do it.
And then I'd find a black person in the audience and be like, I'm sorry, I don't want to single you out since there's only like you and me here, but like, did that happen to you? And every show I did, there was a black person who said yes. I think out of all the shows I did in 2021, there was maybe one who was like, mm-mm.
That's so funny. That's the one person who's never interacted with any.
Yes,
any
and they were in Portland, and I was like, "All right, Portland, keep it weird."
Wow, all right, that is weird. Yeah, it's funny that that becomes weird. That becomes an anomaly that somebody doesn't get a text like that from. Well, it's interesting because I've been thinking about since I saw your special. I keep thinking about that. I keep thinking, obviously, from my white perspective, like what, how I was feeling during that time, and the impulse as. It's a wild thing that you were getting those texts, and I'm I guess proud to say I didn't send those texts, but there's a part of me and my you know, guilt and white privilege, all of that, that understands the impulse to want to connect, mm-hmm. you know, and somehow I wonder what the psychological mechanism is though, that makes somebody text that and what they're hoping for in response. Maybe just, I don't know.
I don't know either. I know it's like a really hard thing to like reconcile with like white guilt and understanding like internalized racism and systemic racism. And then being like, well, what do I do actively? Because honestly, actively, it's just like calling out not okay things that some white people say, but then you don't want to be like the PC police. So it is such a really hard thing to navigate. And I get it. And it is like race is just a really interesting, hard thing to talk about. And I guess like sending a text like that, you're like, well, I did something, right? I did a thing.
Does this absolve me in some way of that thing that I did that I won't say? I love that you were able to contextualize something like that. That is kind of like, as you say, a very difficult thing to talk about, very nuanced. But you do so in a very funny way. I mean, it's through humor, which is the best way to think about things, I think.
It's funny because I had talked about this thing that had happened, and my friend was just like, they were like, why talk about it? And I was like, well, it's kind of like therapeutic to like make something bad that happened to you funny and relatable to other people. And yeah, I think most comics have that in them where they're like, oh, this deeply hurt. Let's see how I can make it funny so it feels better.
Yeah, I bet. What shines a light on something too. So it is bringing a positive thing to it. It's like you're talking about it in a way that is exposing it, mm-hmm. and exposing its ugliness. And it's sometimes it's so ugly and absurd that it makes it funny. And that's what you do with some of these interactions. So, sometimes they're just funny and absurd. Sometimes they're like, you're not learning anything. Like the cat thing, when you drove by the cat funeral. I loved that bit.
Thank you.
Doing wild stuff like that during the quarantine.
Yeah, it was, I think everyone was truly just like, trying to connect in a way that we, because we couldn't. So it was just like, yeah, me, my two roommates at the time, just driving by in a Honda Accord with a sign that's like, sorry about your dead cat.
Yes. Did the cat owner send out an email saying, I'm having this funeral?
No. So a friend of ours sent out the email to be like, okay, let's do this really nice thing. I say her name in the special. Aww. It's my friend Marcy. And Marcy loved that cat dearly. So like I truly got the email and was like, yes. Yes, what a treat for Marcy after her tragic loss. And then as we were doing it, I was like, this is nuts.
Yes, I know. I bet. It seems like the kind of thing where I would be, especially during the pandemic, where you're like, an excuse to go out.
Yes.
Like a thing to do, driving by. So it's you're driving by somebody's house, expressing mm-hmm. your mourning the cat. How do you mourn a cat from a, how do you mourn a cat in person, but how do you mourn a cat from a distance?
Yeah, from a distance, you're just like, sorry. It's like you just meow like
whale.
Them.
Yeah.
It's funny because like I started touring again and then I would like tell that joke and sometimes it didn't hit as hard. And I was like, oh yeah, everyone in Cleveland didn't have the same pandemic I had. Some people's lives, they changed for maybe 3 days. I shot something in Oklahoma and I was talking to the crafty lady and I was like, did you guys have like a shutdown? She was like, I mean, they said we were shut down, but nobody really shut down. I was like, really? And she's like, yeah, we've been out in these streets for a minute. I was like, okay.
She's like, excuse me.
I mean, kind of. And I was like, I can't die from Oklahoma COVID. I can't do it.
No, I know every artist, every stand-up has that period where they're going to do it. They're going to pursue their dreams. And what were your first few years like when you moved to New York? You're from New Jersey. Mm-hmm. You grew up in a big family, right?
No, it was just me, my dad, my mom, and my sister. So it was just four of us.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I moved to New York right after high school. And then like I went to this like 2-year conservatory that was bullshit. But then I started doing UCB stuff. And yeah, I lived in a, 4 bedroom apartment with one bathroom in a 6-floor walk up that was definitely illegal. It was definitely a floor that was like put on top of it. And you had to walk through my room to get to somebody else's room and it was caving in on itself. We never locked our door. We had a massage table as our dining room table because we didn't have any money to like buy an actual table. We found it on the street.
The best. Yeah, but probably great memories. Probably like happy times.
I wouldn't change or go back in time and change it at all for anything. I had a blast. I had so much fun.
And it's probably where you got a lot of inspiration, a lot of material, I imagine. Living, you know, the struggle is where you probably found a lot.
Yeah, for the most part. Yeah, it was like $500 a month. Like, we just like...
Wow. Where was it, Nicole?
This was the Upper West Side. It was Morningside Heights. So it was like 125th and Broadway. And it's changed so much now. I went back. It's fucking weird now.
I bet.
City College and I think Columbia bought buildings above 125th. So now there's like just giant fucking buildings that like block the sun. And it doesn't feel good anymore. It doesn't feel like neighborhoody as much anymore.
Yeah, interesting. And yet it's probably, I mean, it's bougie. It's much bougier.
I'm sure it's so much more expensive now. We paid nothing.
Neil Patrick Harris lives there.
Oh.
When Neil Patrick Harris moves in.
Yeah, that means the neighborhood's gone, baby.
Yeah, it's a new neighborhood. what was the first indulgence you allowed yourself after you had, have found success in that world?
The first thing I ever bought for myself was at JFK. I was flying back and forth doing Girl Code. And we got picked up for a second season and like my Twitter had been blowing up and I was like, she's doing big things. Also, I was still nannying. So like, was she? I bought myself a purple Michael Kors bag and that's the first, it was like a $200 bag. And I had been nannying and I would bring the kids on Wednesdays to the Salvation Army half off day. So like that was $200 on a bag was like, Nicole, you're bad. I can't believe it. So yeah, that was the first expensive thing that I bought and I still have it.
Yeah. It's funny. You adopt a kind of like shamey, sassy, there's like it's funny. Jim Gaffigan does a version of this. Do you know Jim Gaffigan's like voice that he uses that mm-hmm. like, why are you doing? It's kind of like this. Is that... Do you know what I'm talking about? Is that deliberate? Yeah. Yes. Okay.
I mean, it was like not deliberate, but
No. I'm sure you're not like
a little bit of a voice sometimes.
Oh, that. Well, it's to sell. It's to like, yes, it's almost like you're adopting a whole different person is coming out.
Oh yeah, sure. But yeah, I mean, it's like the inner Nicole being like, "What are you doing? You're buying a bag that's $250," or I think it was $250.
It's that voice. It's the kind of shishi.
Oh, yeah. Nicole, yeah. Who are you?
Yes, you do. It was in your stand-up. It's a little like Kim Cattrall in, yes. It's a little like Sex and the City character.
Kim Cattrall is my favorite character in Sex and the City. I was devastated that she did not come to do And Just Like That. But I tend to believe that Sex and the City, the series, is canon. That's one canon.
Uh-huh.
The first movie is the end of that canon. Sex and the City 2 starts a new canon.
Okay.
And Kim is in Sex and the City 2. But Sex and the City 2, for me, I was like, this is crazy. These are not my characters. They're all doing things that are crazy. Steve would never cheat on Miranda. And then I think that starts a new canon that Just Like That lives in.
I wish I were more familiar with both canons. But I do know that Kim Cattrall was not in... Samantha.
Everything was...
Yes,
she now lives in Paris and she doesn't really talk to Carrie and it didn't make any sense. I was like, Samantha she's such a good friend. She would not just let a thing come between. I have thought.
That's how they wrote her off?
Kind of, in a way where I was like, no. Because I guess she got mad that like she was a publicist for Carrie and Carrie was like, the book business slowed down. And I'm like, she would just figure out a different way to get you out there. So I didn't love that, but they did leave it open for her to come back, but then she's not going to come back.
What's the drama behind it? What's the gossip? Is it that she doesn't get along with the other actors?
I read somewhere it was a money thing where it was for six seasons, I think SJP got to be an EP towards the end, and it's like, it's an ensemble.
That's funny. SJP got to be an EP toward the END. that's
people
funny.
People listen, you're like, what?
Why, wait, what? If you're just tuning in, we're talking about
the... SJP got to be the EP.
That must sound familiar to you. It's probably not the best rendition you've heard of it, but everyone knows that that's a Beethoven masterpiece, Beethoven's Für Elise, to be exact. But what you may not have known is that it was composed for the love of his life, Teresa. I believe it was the same love that enabled Michelangelo to sculpt the statue of David and for Da Vinci to paint the Mona Lisa. The power of love might be the strongest power in the world, and we can all take advantage of the benefits it provides in incredibly unexpected ways. How? The story continues at masterworks.art/long. That's masterworks.art/long. That's masterworks.art/long. I just got a nice box in the mail. I was very excited to tear into it because I saw that it was from Plus CBD.
I tore it open with my teeth.
I am so into these little gummies, and as is our father now.
They're the best. Plus CBD sleep gummies get you the rest you need to wake up feeling focused, refreshed, and ready for the day.
These tasty raspberry gummies are made with award-winning CBD along with melatonin, magnolia bark, lemon balm for a powerful sleep support. Plus CBD sleep gummies are safe to use every night for better rest.
Here's a cool thing. All Plus CBD products are third-party tested and fully traceable from seed to shelf, so you can be assured you're getting the highest quality hemp CBD.
On those days you just need a positive push, Plus CBD is the perfect go-to product. The pure ingredients can help reduce stress, alleviate soreness, and improve your overall sleep.
I love these things. So shop now at pluscbdoil.com. Enter promo code LONG, L-O-N-G, for 40% off your order.
Hello, hello again. Shaboom, and up we'll meet again.
I also have to catch up. I know you're a fan of a certain show. I'm going to do it. I want to see if you know
90
who
Day Fiancé?
Oh, shit. Too late. Yeah.
Yeah, okay, I fucking love 90 Day Fiancé.
The best. Yes.
It's the best show on television. Are you up to date?
No, I'm not. The last season was the Zied season, and Jay was in a relationship with the older woman who then started dating Jay's cousin.
Oh, yes. Stephanie.
Yes. Stephanie.
From Michigan. Harris.
I'm just going to go and date Harris instead. Yeah,
that was nuts. She was boozy all the fucking time. I was like, this lady's never sober. That was a good season.
That was a good season.
I love the cult Debbie Larissa, Vanessa triangle or rectangle.
Yes. Oh, wait, are they still on? Is it still happening?
So I think last I heard, Colt and Vanessa, I think, are getting divorced because Debbie was supposed to move out of the house, but then Debbie never moved out of the house. And it's like, my dude, like, you got to let your mom go, and your mom has to let you go.
She's got to cut that cord.
Yeah, it's a real Oedipus situation going on.
It really is. Larissa was, you know, obviously she had her own struggles.
Oh, she's perfect, though. Do you follow her on Instagram? Her tits are so big. They're so big.
Newly big? Or?
Oh, yeah, newly big. She's there's like a whole niche section.
I want the biggie. I want them to be a biggie.
I love her. There's a whole niche section of like Instagram and the internet and called bimbification. And it's these women who.
Nicole, you're killing me. I'm going to go down a.
Is Alicia Amir. Amira, I think. But she explains it in a way that like really makes it make sense. But she's like, oh, it's a sexual fetish. Well, I want to be a sex doll. So I'm going to pump myself full of like silicone and I'm going to make my boobs as big as possible. My waist as tiny as possible. My hips as big as possible. Yeah.
Oh no.
And that's what Larissa's doing. Of course I liked it. I'm obsessed with her.
My big bimbo plastic news. Last week I got my first ever fill of my expander breast implants.
Yeah.
Nicole, why have you done this to me?
Really interesting. Because it's like,
it's wild.
It's very like Pam Anderson 90s, like big titties, but then they also have big butts now.
The face is, it looks
big lips, tiny noses. Man. They're like living Bratz dolls.
Yes. Yes. This is, I'm afraid to offend anyone. So I feel like I shouldn't talk about
it. But here's the thing. She's like, so Alicia's like, if you're not into it, you're not into it. The people who are into it, you keep following me because that's what you like. And she's like, if you don't like it, no shade. I don't care.
Yeah. Yeah. That makes sense. But like when she's saying to be into it, I wonder what she thinks the it is that people are
the plastic, the plasticness of her, like that she literally looks unreal.
Oh, look, hey, there's different strokes for.
Yeah, if it fits me, I love them. I think it's astonishing and like very curious what people are willing to do for like for to make themselves happy. Like that's, it's a lot of money. You have to go, you know, put under anesthesia. Like you might not wake up. It's crazy.
Yeah, it is. I was watching a show. There's a great documentarian named Louis Theroux, and he was on the show. And Louis was talking about, he did an expose. He works for the BBC, does these documentaries for the BBC. And one was about that. It was about plastic surgery. And man, I would watch Botched and all of those things. And a thing that they seem to have in common, the people that they profiled, they seem to have in common was that post-surgery, they never seemed content, like happy. Yeah. There never seemed to be like a comfort in their shoes, like, mm-hmm. And I know it must be new. It must be shocking to see this different, but I don't know. I don't want to judge.
Well,
anyone.
That's part of it. You're never done. You're never like Alicia has. I love her. I've watched so many of her videos, but she explains that
she's like,
I'm never done. I'm a constant work in progress. I'm always looking for the bigger, the wider, the like whatever. And I think she just got her nose done. She just had like more fillers in her lips, and then she like had her chin chiseled down. And she'll post before and afters, and that's my favorite because she was just like a simple white lady, and now she's this like a blown up plastic doll, and she seems genuinely so happy.
Yeah. Well, hey, look. I mean, who knows? Who knows what's going on in somebody's heart? I worry, and this is going to sound, I'm going to sound like a Karen. would a Karen be worried about how that affects kids looking at it, like a generation of being exposed to somebody? You stumble upon that and you see all this positive reinforcement in the comments, like, good for you, you're beautiful, you know, and kids, I don't know.
Well, I think like, there should be all sorts of representation in media and whatnot. And I mean, I don't mean to come down on parents, but like, I think a parent has to be like, hey, you're okay the way you are. I mean, people call me body positive and I'm like, I don't know if I'm necessarily body. I just like the fucking fat body I'm in. I'm not crying about it anymore. But I'm also like, if you don't want to be fat, you don't have to be. You can take steps to not be fat or whatever. If you don't like your nose, you can go fix your nose, but also you can also just like look in the mirror and be happy with it. I'm all for like, do what makes you happy to look in the mirror. I just choose to be happy at what I look at in the mirror. And
yeah, well, that's great. I mean, if you are positive about that, I guess it's when people say body positive, I guess they mean it's putting out a message to people that you can be happy
I'm
with.
I'm just like body neutral. It's like, it is what it is, guys.
Yeah, I'm pretty body neutral these days. Sometimes I'm more body positive than other days.
Yeah, it changes.
Some days I'm body negative,
yeah,
I think.
Same. Some days I look in the mirror and I go, yuck.
You're in New York. Are you at UCB Theater? Mm-hmm. Like you're on your path to doing it. What would you do when you're sitting in Washington Square Park, just like, chilling out on a nice spring day?
I read a lot. So yeah. I read so much. Like one of my favorite books was Valley of the Dolls. And I read that like two or three times. I would go to Barnes and Noble and sit on the floor and read because I wouldn't yell at you.
The Strand.
I was at the Strand. Man. Drama bookstore in the Upper West Side. I would sit in there and read plays. Yeah, I just read so much.
Nicole, was theater what you were drawn to? I mean, what performance-wise, what was it that, like, what was the first itch?
I thought I was going to be a Broadway star. I really did. I thought Broadway was it. I thought I was going to do live theater. But then you realize very few things are written for my type and my age range in plays and stuff. A lot of the time the young ingenue is like a nice white lady. And I can't sing. I don't really dance. So like if I could, I would be in it. Like I probably wouldn't be a comic. I'd be in some musical touring the country or whatever.
Was high school more of like conventional play, you know, Music Man and stuff like that?
Yeah. We did like last musical we did was Godspell. And
I love Godspell. Yeah.
I have the tape. I haven't watched it. But at one performance, I sat in someone's father's lap as I sang Turn Back, Oh Man. And I should just watch it and be like, oh, God. But I feel like it's going to be very cringy.
I can't watch that stuff. I have a few plays in high school. I was not good. I was nervous. I was that's tough to watch. I don't know how much it would encourage me.
Yeah, I'd be like, I gotta give up. Quit it all right now. Yeah.
But like young people listening should know that, you know, it, what it, I think so much of it, it comes with experience and confidence. Oh, that's how you gain confidence, you know? So certainly not, man, if you don't feel like you have your footing right now, you're in high school, you're listening to this, just keep doing it. That's what people say to me. And I'm sure you have the same experience where people say, like, I want to, how do you do it? Like, what do you recommend a young actor, mm-hmm. a young actor? And I always say, like, it sounds pretentious, but like, do theater, do a play.
Do theater, do a play. If you don't have access to it, there's no harm in transcribing a monologue from a movie or something that you like where it's like kind of chunky and recording yourself doing it. Just like, don't look into the camera, look off camera. And then watch it back and then keep doing it till it like feels better and it feels real. And
that's
then
a good idea.
Watch the person who did it and then watch your performance. And I think people be like, well, that's cheating. You're copying. And it's like, you're not copying. You're learning how to be natural on camera because that's really hard. It's very hard to be natural if you're not used to it.
How did you find stand up then? Was it through UCB? Was it like a matter of...
I started doing UCB stuff and then I got Girl Code, which is an MTV show. And then colleges have these like budgets to like fly comics out for their like orientations or homecoming things. So they were like, we all love Girl Code. So we want Girl Code and Guy Code comedians to come to our schools. And I said to my manager at the time, I was like, I could do like a sketch. I could bring my wigs. And he was like, no, learn how to do stand up. And I was like, okay. He was like, just take your characters and like, because I did sketches and stuff. And he was like, just turn that into premises.
Oh, that's interesting. That makes sense, Nicole, because maybe that's where a lot of the voices come from.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, okay. That's funny. Did you have confidence when you were on stage? I mean, to me, that always, I just pass by every time I see a stand up, I think, God, I'm nervous for them. Mm-hmm. You know, I think it takes such balls to do that.
At first, I mean,
and lady balls,
all the balls. I went to dinner with my friend Emily Heller last night, who's she's a comic and she's a writer and she's incredibly funny. She was at my first show. It was Rutgers University, and I was like, Emily, you should close. You're an actual comic. You've been doing this for like years. This is my first show where I'm doing more than 10 minutes. And she was like, no, you're on TV. They're here to see you. And I was like, okay. And I got on stage and I was up there for like 35, 40 minutes. And I was like, they're laughing at shit that's not funny. And I was like, oh, it's because I'm on TV and it's because they already like me. So then I was like, okay, I can coast in these college shows. So now I have to come back to LA and see if that material works for people who don't know who I am. So I kind of worked backwards from, because usually you'll do material that doesn't work and you try to figure it out.
You workshop it, yeah.
I would do material that I knew was kind of not funny.
Oh, interesting.
But like would get a laugh because they knew me and then bring it to LA and do shows every night of the week and try to work it for people who didn't know me. So it was weird because I knew I had a finite time to get good.
Yes.
Because people forget about you, but they still book you on shows. You have to be funny. You can't not be funny. Yeah. So I was like, I'm going to figure out how I'm funny as a stand-up. It took a minute, but I think I got there.
Oh, that's interesting. Oh, yeah. But yeah, you have Netflix specials now. I want to talk about Why Won't You Date Me? Because it's such a huge hit. And the premise is so interesting because it's all based on you not having a love in your life, not having a partner, which is such a great premise. It's such an interesting thing to explore. But what happens when you do find love? Do you have to end it?
I don't think I'll end it. I don't know. I think that's like just like another chapter in my life where I'm like, what is it like dating somebody? And it's like, why won't you date me? Because I already got somebody. Sorry about it.
Well, then you could call it, why will you date me?
Yeah, why will you date me? Because somebody
else
will.
Why are you dating me?
Yeah.
Yes. Why have you decided to date me? what do you find is the most common link? I mean, in terms of not being dateable? Because I went through, God, the dating world was something that I had a very hard time navigating.
I'm not in it anymore.
Yes.
It sucks. A lot of people are like, you know, just like
met some great people. I should say great people. Really?
I've only met trash. No, I'm kidding. I've also met some really great people. I guess people always, they're like, you know, don't be so much. And then the longer I've done it, the more I'm like, oh, don't dim myself for anybody. Like, if somebody's going to date me and want to be with me, they're going to want to be with all of me. Yeah. They're going to like everything about me. Or not everything, but like, for the most part, they're going to like that I'm loud. They're going to like that I'm assertive. They're going to like that I like to laugh and not, and like, be okay with being the loud table at dinner or whatever.
Nicole, I can't believe you haven't found somebody like that. I only because, like, you seem like such a social, but you seem like such a gregarious, charming person. I'm surprised that you haven't found that.
There's been a lot of studies that men do not want to date funny women.
Oh, for real?
Uh-huh. That men are just, like, genuinely not attracted to funny women.
Oh, man. I not, well, not this man. I love funny, but funny is, like, very, you know, that's the top of the list for me. Well, I wonder why.
I don't know. I have so many tabs open on my computer, but I have one window of like 8 tabs open because I've been not researching, but I was like genuinely curious about it. I was like, I keep finding studies that say that men are just not attracted to funny women, but like, it's not to say all of them. I don't know. I don't know what it is.
Maybe it's like the men think, like, I don't know, maybe there's some kind of inherent sexist, traditional thing. Like, men are supposed to be the ones who are funny because they're the ones who are having to court the women. They're having to do the
maybe
work to court. Maybe. I don't know.
And also, like, I know I'm specific. I'm fat. I'm black. I'm pretty independent. Like, I know all of that is, that's like a whole package that you have to be like, okay, unwrapping. Because sometimes I'll be like, oh, it's because men don't like funny women. And people will be like, you're all so fat. And I'm like, yeah, I know. But like, your mom probably is too. And she probably still fucks your dad. So like, let's take that out of the equation. Yeah, it's just, it's a lot. I know that I'm a lot of things that aren't traditionally seen as like appealing or attractive. And that's not me being down on myself. That's me
I
see the people out in the world who are in, like, you know, monogamous relation, or not monogamous, what is it? They're like serial people who are always in a relationship.
Serial monogamous. Yeah. Is there a physical type that you are attracted to? I mean, it is true that there's a superficiality to dating. There's a reality to that. But is there a certain, you know, physicality that you look for?
The last couple of guys I've gone out with have been real nerds. They're just real nerdy looking. I don't think I have a type.
Nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that, listeners.
I don't think I have a type. I think, I mean, honestly, right now, I'm just looking for someone who's nice. I think that's a nice, like, who's nice, kind, treats me well. Yeah.
Yeah, good. Well, I'm rooting for you because you seem like a really, really nice person yourself. So
thank you. Life could be a dream, sweetheart. Do, 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 shaboom.
Hiring? Well, with Indeed, your search is over because you can get rid of the search and just match. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. That's because Indeed leverages over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day. It's constantly learning from your preferences. Basically, the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/long. Just go to Indeed.com/long right now and support the show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/long. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Want to hear a really satisfying sound? Here it is. That's the sound I hear when I'm learning a new language with Babbel. And if you want to learn a new language this year, it'll be one of your favorite sounds too. Babbel's designed by real people for real conversations. With Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons that are handcrafted by over 200 language experts, you can start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. I've been loving learning Spanish because I love traveling to Spanish-speaking countries, and I just want to be better at communicating with the people. I love the people there, and I want to be able to get to know them better. I also love the food, so I'd like to be better at ordering food so I don't order the wrong thing. They teach you very practical, real-world language skills. And here's a special limited time deal for our listeners. Right now, get 55% off your Babbel subscription, but only for our listeners at babbel.com/long. Get 55% off at babbel.com/long, spelled BABBEL.com/long. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hello, hello again, shaboom, and up we'll meet again.
And Big Beautiful Weirdo, why do you call yourself a weirdo? Because that's in the title of the stand-up.
I know I'm a little weird.
If aliens came down to the planet and you were to describe yourself to them and you said, I'm a little weird, and they were like, why are you weird? How would you articulate that?
I'm just like really authentically me. Like I went to a restaurant with my friend Sashir, who I keep talking. It's like I don't have any other friends. Sashir.
That's okay. And, I have three myself.
And my other friend, Christy, we were in Indiana.
Okay, there's a new friend.
Another friend, Christy Cello. Yeah. I fucking love her. And we were at a restaurant and we ordered our food. Our food was coming and they were telling us what we, you know, they're like, who has the whatever? And one of the servers was holding big silverware and I snatched it. I went, look at the big silverware. And then I started crying. Because I just love the big silverware so much. Just things like that. Like people aren't out here crying over silverware, but I...
You were weeping over how you liked the... That is... Okay, I understand. That is a little weird.
I love things that are big that aren't supposed to be, and I love things that are small that aren't supposed to be.
I agree with you. I'm the same. Nicole, I just bought a smart car, okay? A used smart car. So you were preaching to the choir.
That's
I love going by, like, I love taking road trips and seeing, like, you know, if the biggest ball of twine and like the biggest horseshoe, if there's, one day, you know, I really want to do a full on, I have this camper van. I want to take it around and find the wildest, big, little oddities, whatever they are.
That sounds like a true treat. I love it. I went to South Carolina and, my friend's dad lived there and she was like, go hang out with my dad. And I was like, okay, cool. I don't care. And then I was like, hey, do you want to take me to the world's biggest fire hydrant? And he was like, okay.
Yes.
He didn't understand why I was so happy about it, but I was like, I was so happy. And I was elated for the whole day.
Oh, that's great. And great Instagram content.
It's good gram content, but it's also
great gram content.
I'll just like look at it and be like, look at that big fire hydrant. Look how tiny I am.
I love stuff like that. No, I know. All right. We have a lightning round. It's so fun to talk to you. I don't want it to end, but there's a quick lightning round.
Okay.
Okay. What is your favorite emoji? Your go-to?
The go-to one that I use is that purple heart or that lady whose hands are up like that. Who's like, I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Use that a lot. Often uncertain of things, I guess. Who was your first celebrity crush?
Vin Diesel.
Oh, wow. You had that
I
so ready.
Cut out pictures of Vin Diesel and made a Vin Diesel collage.
Oh, yeah.
In my room. Oh, I loved him. Oh, God.
Wow.
I still love Vin Diesel.
What was the thing? I mean, when do you remember the moment of...
It was definitely Fast and the Furious. I love that movie. Uh-huh. I think it's incredibly well done. And then I loved him and Michelle Rodriguez. There's this one scene where they're like dirty from fixing up a car and she like straddles him.
Sure.
And it's like the only sexual part of the whole franchise. And
that's
the furious
part.
It was the very furious part. Yeah. I was like, he does it for me. And then I love these, like, Vin he just does a lot of that.
Oh, yeah.
So
there's a great
family. I love
him. That's a good one. Do you do celebrity impressions?
I do a bad one of Emma Stone.
Oh, yes.
Let's see.
So, Emma, let me ask Emma. Okay. I'm going to ask Emma this. Emma, because it would be great to get her on the podcast. I'm so glad we have her for one question. Emma, what is your favorite ice cream flavor?
So my favorite ice cream flavor, I guess I would have to say, is pralines.
That's, you know what? I'm closing my eyes. I can sort of, she does have kind of, which is such a charming aspect of her personality. She does have a slight, there's a goofiness to her.
It's goofy and it's raspy. It's so it's like
raspy,
kind of like.
Yeah. There's a,
Yeah, and yeah, there's just like a little bit of a lisp going on.
Yes,
it's a slight... it's not a great impression, but
God, I hope she's not listening to this because I think she is one of the nicest, funniest, and this, so this, two people going like this about you, like, this is what she's, I hope that's not.
Oh, I don't mean any disrespect. I like her a lot. I ran into her, I had a general at this, a general is a meeting that you have with producers and they're nice to you and they don't give you a job. But I had a general.
That is so well said. Yes.
And they're like, we just want to get to know you. And you're like, okay.
Yes, I'm like, I don't need another friend and I know you don't really care about my life. And, yeah. Oh, but man, I know. But good meals.
Good meals. Yeah, yeah. Very nice meals. And I was at the like their offices and as I was leaving, Emma Stone was there. And I just, she like held the door for me and I was like, thank you. And then I went to the bathroom and I was like, you did it. You were very cool. Like, I'm
you were normal. Yeah, you behave normally.
Like,
she doesn't.
People are probably not normal to her at all. But I was like, I wanted to be like, what are you doing here, Emma Stone? But
I was like, isn't that funny? That's a good instinct, Nicole. I hope she's listening for many reasons.
Famous people are very funny. I went to SNL once and Jonah Hill was also going and we were going into 30 Rock and he was standing in front of me. And I felt my arms raise up and I was like, what's happening? And I was like, oh, I think I'm trying to hug Jonah Hill. And I was like, oh, I don't know him. He doesn't know me, but I was like, it felt like I knew him. And
that's funny. Well, he's also a very huggable guy. I get that. Just
he's got such a nice, friendly face.
You know what? He's one of the few people you probably could have hugged. At first, he probably would have been like, whoa, dude, what are you doing? But yeah, if he knew that you were friendly and safe. He's a hell of a hugger. He's a good man. What is an acclaimed movie that you're embarrassed to admit you haven't seen? Like people kind of shame you for.
I've never seen any of the Indiana Joneses. I've never seen the Godfathers.
Oh shit.
Name some movies that you love.
Jaws. You never seen Back to the Future? What?
Never seen Jaws. Name some more movies.
Back to the Future.
I've seen Back to the Future. I've seen all of those. Okay.
Planes, Trains, and Automobiles.
No.
The Jerk.
No.
Young Frankenstein.
No.
Oh, Nicole, I hope you're not writing these down. You should be writing these down. You have such great entertainment ahead of you. Watch Jaws, watch The Godfather. But you know that. That's why you answered the question that way. You know that they're acclaimed.
Yeah. There's 10. Like, honestly, name 3 more. I bet you haven't seen them.
Oh my God. Oh, wow. Tootsie.
No. Oh, wait. No, I just watched Tootsie. That's a lie. Okay, great. I've seen Tootsie.
Yes. Oh, so good. Just trying to think of my favorites. Neverending Story. The Neverending Story. These are 80s. I mean, I'm a child.
Wait,
I'm older than you.
That's the Luck Dragon or something?
Yes.
The Neverending
Story.
Okay, yeah, I have seen that.
La, da, 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 da. Okay, what is a game show? You host Nailed It. You host so many things. Wipeout. What is a game show that you would like to be a contestant on?
Okay, I've been a contestant on Family Feud.
Oh,
but I
how
love
fun is
Family
that?
Feud.
Me too.
Steve Harvey. One of my favorite comics. He's so funny. He can really just make anything funny. I love him.
Yes, me too. Were you nervous when you were on? Because I found myself like really sweating.
Yeah, I did Fast Money and
oh, me too.
Spoiler, he said, when I say cheese, you say, and I went big. And he was like, what? Because I was like, big cheese in charge. They were looking for like cheddar, Swiss.
Oh, sure. Yeah, I don't want to shame you any more than you probably have been shamed for that answer. But yes, that's an odd.
Very, very, very bad answer.
The big spoon thing I'm on board for. The big spoon thing I don't find weird. But yes, big in response to cheese is, that's weird. Man, he must have loved you. If you could learn another language, what would it be?
Spanish. Yo habla español un poquito. Yo trabajador mucho te habla español, pero muy mal. No bueno. I said, yo habla. Oh, yeah. I speak Spanish a little bit. I try.
Yo también.
But,
mi también.
You speak Spanish?
Un poquito. Un muy poquito.
Sí. I wish I had kept with it after high school.
Me too.
And Duolingo, what a bitch. So annoying.
I know. People are sick of hearing me talk about it on the show, but I'm with you, Nicole. Do you drink coffee or tea, and how do you take it?
Coffee, black.
Great. Solid. What is your favorite cereal?
My favorite cereal, I think, is Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
Yes! The best. Yeah.
And then there's these other ones. There's like these O's. I can't remember what those are called.
Cracklin' O.
Yes. Cracklin' O'Brien. Yes. Yeah. I love those.
Me too. And who else does? God, this was such a, yes. Somebody else on the show recently. Alicia Silverstone.
That makes me so happy.
Right. I just like to connect because if you ever hold the door for her or she holds the door for you,
I can be like, Cracklin' O'Brien.
Cracklin' O'Brien. Yes. If you had to choose a different first name, we talked about this, instead of Nicole, what would it be?
Okay. So my middle name is Michelle, and my mother at one point said, do you want to go by Shelley? And I was like, no, ew, Shelley. But now I'm like, Shelley Byer? That's kind of fun. I don't know anyone named Shelley who's my age.
No, Shelley's kind of like a nice old fashioned name. You don't meet a lot of babies named Shelley. No.
And I kind of wish I had gone with it instead of like, you're dumb. But yeah.
Yeah. And a nice connection to your mom. Mm-hmm. That would be cool. Shelley. Okay. That's a great answer. If you had a sandwich named after you, the Nicole Byer sandwich, what would be on it? What would it be?
Bacon, lettuce, tomato, grilled chicken, and Kraft ranch dressing with a little bit of salt and pepper.
Yes. What bread is it on?
I think it's on like a toasted baguette, but it has it can't be too crunchy on the outside, just enough, and then very soft on the inside.
Yes, God, I love this place, Bay Cities in Santa Monica. If you're ever there, the best sandwich place. But yeah, the crunchy on the outside bread can really hurt the teeth. Hurt the gums. What am I doing? What is your favorite Tom Hanks movie?
Oh, Forrest Gump. I love Forrest Gump. Yes, I will watch Forrest Gump anytime it comes on television.
One of those movies that you may have been shamed for not seeing. If you haven't seen it, Big. You should watch.
Never seen Big.
Okay, you got a lot of great ones ahead of you. Would you rather take a time machine to the past or the future?
Future. Gotta see if I'm married, baby.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Okay. I can't wait to hear what the name of the podcast is going to be called then. Are you more of a talker or a texter?
Texter until I'm like, ugh, I'm tired.
Yes, I know. It takes forever. Night or morning person?
Night.
Do you prefer the toilet roll over or under?
Under.
Yes. Oh, under.
Yeah, because it's easier to like rip it off.
Okay. I disagree, but many people agree with you. Finish this. That's okay. You're the guest. I don't have to agree. Finish this sentence if you would, Nicole. Okay. This is our final thing. Life is short, so.
Make yourself happy, but don't hurt people in the process.
I love it. Yes. Very true. Sage. And you seem like a person that is very good at doing that.
I try.
Both those things. Yeah. You make a lot of people happy and you made me so happy.
Thank you. This was fun. I had a nice time.
I know how busy you are. So thanks for taking the time.
Yeah. Thank you for having me. What a treat.
So that has happened.
Yes. It's like a... Oh, it's
playful.
Playful, but also slightly suggestive alter ego.
She has a great laugh. She has a very... like a lilting, like giggle.
Yeah. Doesn't it sound like Samantha? Is it Samantha from Sex and the City?
Kim Cattrall.
Kim Cattrall.
She's a huge fan.
Huge.
Of Sex and the City. You could not keep up with her.
No. Well, I know very little.
At all. You were like, I just know that she wasn't in it.
I just know her voice. That's the reason I brought it up.
She loves it.
She loves that and 90 Day Fiancé, which is so fun to talk about.
You could relate to her about that. I went down a wormhole after I heard you guys talking about Larissa.
Larissa, yes.
Corky. Oh, yeah.
I got this message from Cecily Strong.
Oh, speaking of.
90 Day Fiancé. And she played she sent me these clips it makes me want to see the new season so badly.
Oh, it started.
Yes.
It premiered.
Yeah. Have you seen the new season?
No.
I can understand why people are fascinated by these relationships because they're so clearly the dynamic that they're so clearly, you know what it is? It's purely transactional. But there's a really funny part. It says, I hadn't seen this. I guess Asuelo was on another season of it.
Oh, I heard Asuelo, they might be heading for a divorce.
Well, that's not a huge shocker, but I'd be interesting to see how that went down. But she said, please tell me you watched Asuelo in a Santa hat with straggly long gray hair tackling his sister at Christmas. I mean, they're just that alone. I have to,
What kind of a tease is
Kalani.
That?
Kalani.
Kalani, no.
I just want you to be nice
Why
to me.
Why are you being Kalani. Mean to me?
Kalani.
Speaking of, should I pick this up?
Okay.
Let's give it a shot. Hey, Mom.
Hi, hon. I have a slight conundrum.
Uh-oh. Just the podcast.
Oh, okay.
That's all right. What's your conundrum?
Well, I printed out the recipes for you for the
cupcakes.
Maybe I will have you make those, but I want you to come and get. I bought the buttermilk. I got the little cupcake filler, you know.
Okay, thanks.
And so if you can get that, and also there was one other thing. Oh yeah, the potatoes. Here's my conundrum: the potatoes have to cook at 350 an hour after you go through all this other stuff.
That is a conundrum.
It's 375 for the lamb.
Oh, why don't I cook them?
So yeah,
I got an oven. Christian's got an oven. I got two ovens.
What?
Yeah.
Whoa.
That's lucky.
Oh, honey, he's joking. Nobody has two ovens.
Yes, he does. I saw them.
Oh. Yeah.
Well, how are you going to get them here to be warm?
In a car.
In a car. Yeah, I probably know, just transport them in an automobile.
I know.
Maybe take
I don't know. Maybe then just warm up. We could just kind of stick them in the oven to warm them up.
I don't think this qualifies as a conundrum.
Yeah. No. All right. Well, listen, let me call you afterwards and I can cook them or Christian can. It's not that easy. The conundrum solved.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, we'll be in church at about, we're leaving around 20 to 7.
But you're not talking about cooking the potatoes tonight.
Oh, no. This is for Sunday.
Oh, okay. So I'll come over when we're done.
Okay. That sounds good.
Okay. All right. Love you. Have fun. Okay. Bye.
Our mother's been having trouble sleeping at night.
Yeah.
She's been waking up early in the morning and with her mind racing.
Yeah.
And I can see why.
Yeah, you got a little glimpse.
You got a little taste.
A little glimpse of it. By the way, I have
to... She's talking about cooking potatoes 3 days from now. Today's Thursday, and she's talking about a dinner on Sunday.
Not only talking about it, like anxious about it.
Yeah.
Well, thanks, Caliper, and CTV.
Yeah.
CBT.
If this works for her,
oh,
she should become the spokeswoman.
Yes, yeah, I'm excited.
She could be like the Where's the Beef lady. She'd be like, Where's the weed?
Yeah. Where's the problem? yeah, I'm excited for our father. I think because back in the day, he was like a cool philosophy guy. He was like in the 60s. So he definitely.
What if we go over later? He's like listening to the Grateful Dead. Yeah, he's wearing like tie-dye shirt.
Yeah. He's like, what's up, yuppies? yeah, that was. What do you think? I'm curious if you think that call is going to get left in the show.
I hope so.
Yeah, me too.
It might be my favorite part of the episode so far.
I wonder what Nicole
would. I mean, not including the interview, of course.
Of course, of course.
I love how you asked her the question about what movie she might get shamed for.
Oh yeah,
and she like hadn't seen any movies, and
I
then
had no
you
shame.
Like, but you were so incredulous about all of them.
I tried to shame her. Yeah,
but it didn't work.
No,
she's like shame proof.
No, yes,
you were like you haven't seen that, and she's like nope.
Yep, sorry, try again.
And she's like name more.
She kind of bragged.
Yeah,
I haven't seen Jaws. I haven't seen Gone with the Wind. I mean, the list goes on.
But I haven't seen Gone with the Wind either.
Oh, really?
It's yeah. Long, right?
It's long, and I imagine...
Windy.
Imagine it's quite problematic.
Yeah, and someone leaves at the end?
And they go. Yeah, they leave.
And it's kind of like leaves are going everywhere. And
yeah, they just kind of get blown away.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, you get it.
I get it.
You don't have to see it. Scarlett O'Hara. And,
Yada, yada, yada.
He is looking at... No, that's...
Casablanca.
which I... You know, I've never seen Maltese Falcon.
I haven't either. I've never seen Citizen Kane.
Oh, I've seen that. Oh, so funny. We talked about that. I talked about that with Guy Pearce.
Oh, spoiler alert.
Oh, maybe not. Maybe I just spoke to him socially.
Okay.
How do you know it was for the podcast?
I don't. That'd be a cool friend.
Guy?
Yeah.
He'd
be a cool guy to know.
Speaking of guys, if you're ever in New Orleans, there is a great bar called One Eye Jack's. Our dear friend Rio owned it. He passed away and... We just want to say to his family and his friends, we we loved Rio so much, Rio Hackford. He was one of the greats, one of the originals. And so if you are in New Orleans, my favorite bar there by far is a place called One Eye Jack's.
And maybe your favorite bar in the country.
In the country, yes, I would say that's true. And Rio made a thing called a guy. And so it was a drink. Yeah. Remember that? We'd have guys at the bar.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, what a fun person. What a great guy. And a fun drink to have in his honor. So if you're down there, sidle up and get a guy in Rio's honor. So we loved him. And to his family, we are you're in our prayers. Anyway, sorry for that.
But very important, worth saying.
Yeah.
You bought a smart car.
Oh, yes. A little
smart. More news. More Justin news that I learned from listening to a podcast.
So I can't believe I didn't tell you that.
No.
I was in that. You know, I have COVID too, right?
I know that from listening to the podcast.
Oh, really?
No, you told me that.
Okay, all right. And so I got a smart car. I had been wanting one for years. I always thought they were cool. I have a fantasy of, like, you know, just being able to park anywhere in the city and in New York. And I love it. You know what's funny about it is, like, the looks that you get is – and you can't look cool, which I kind of like about it. There's no way to – You know, we were talking about being younger and, like, blasting music.
They're
and,
ridiculous looking. My friend Liz had one. They're ridiculous looking.
I really like them. I talked to Chelsea Handler, made fun of me for it on her podcast.
Everyone's going to make fun of you for it.
Yeah, yeah. I don't mind that.
Should we read a letter?
Let's read a letter here. All right. Wow, this is a long one. You see this?
Yeah, wow. I'm looking at it.
Okay. From Chris Graves, subject, Turtles, Watches, and Monopoly. Hi, Brothers Long. I hope this missive finds you well. My name is Chris, pronounced Chris with a silent H sound. And if this was a phone call, you might find yourself saying, oh, you're a woman? I get that a lot with a name like Chris, spelled without a K. And then an old-fashioned tongue-out face. I haven't seen that in a long time.
So P.
Yeah, it's a colon with a dash and a uppercase P. Wow, that's funny. I haven't seen that in a long time. Anywho, Chris says, I'm a longtime listener. It sounds like it. Thank you both for the joy you bring to my daily walks. Oh, thank you, Chris. That is so nice. So recently, Justin, you've had a couple anecdotes that had me saying, me too, or ha, do I have a Monopoly story for you? First, my me too story, and then an old-fashioned winky face. I, too, do not wear watches. Somewhere in my 20s, I discovered my dislike for watching time too much. Before that, I'll admit my teens were filled with collecting an assortment of cool Swatch watches. Yes, I've clearly dated myself. Weren't the 80s wonderful? They were. Oh, man. But like I said earlier, by my 20s, I stopped wearing watches, a habit I maintain to this day. I'm the youngest of 6 kids, and for a solid 8 years, my brother John would give me a watch for Christmas, which, yes, is super nice, but also says a little something about his powers of observation. That's true. I finally had to pull him aside one year and let him gently down. Me, John, I love you so much, and this is a lovely watch, but the thing is, I don't wear watches. John, oh, I thought you just kept losing the ones I gave you. It's funny. Brothers, you gotta love them. Second, my Monopoly story. As I mentioned above, I'm the youngest of 6. When I was but a freshly minted baby, my dad was playing a rousing game of Monopoly with my siblings. It was 1970, and my father was a pretty successful businessman. So when my sister Leslie, who was 13 at the time, won the game, beating my 4 brothers and my father, well, my dad was not happy. And in fine sore loser mode, he pitched a fit and flipped the board over. Hey, yeah, I can relate. I never got to play Monopoly with my father because he chose to never play Monopoly with us kids again. Wow. His loss. And another old-fashioned tongue-out face. Thirdly, I happen to produce a lot of documentary television. Cool. And back in November of 2014, I was on a show filming on Mona Island in Puerto Rico. This island is uninhabited. Wow, that's cool. And a nature reserve. So we had to pitch tents on a beach for the 2 weeks we were staying and shooting there. That is, man, that is a dream. The island also happens to be a hatching site for sea turtles. Oh, boy. Here we go. Did you just perk up, Justin?
Yes.
I sure did.
I can testify. Chris.
But due to climate change, we had heard that the beach hadn't been used by the turtles for a couple of years. So you can imagine our surprise one night when we were woken up in the middle of the night because turtle eggs were hatching. Oh, wow. That sound, I can imagine. It's just like the crinkling of like little...
Think of like Jurassic shells. Park.
Yeah, but I also know that sound of when I was in Nicaragua, I was at a turtle sanctuary and they were one day old hatchlings and the sound of them all moving together is like something I'll never forget. The full moon was out and the beach was covered with tiny baby turtles. They were so cute, and the moment was filled with so much awe. We helped guide the little ones to the water for their first swim. It is truly one of the most amazing things I've ever witnessed. And knowing your love of turtles, Justin, I thought I'd share this story with you. Thank you, Chris, for doing that. Yes, that, I'm imagining it being amazing. Lastly, would you rather, okay, would you rather get to only play male, mostly one-dimensional leads in one genre of film for your whole career, i.e. action star, rom-com star, etc., but also be beloved by audiences or only get to be small supporting roles for your whole career with no limit to the kinds of characters you can be, but no one will ever recognize you for your work. We've had a version of this.
The before. First one, definitely.
We've had this, like a version of this. And it's a good question, Chris. I would say the second one for sure. But again, like we said last time, only because I have some experience now with being known for acting work and knowing what comes with that. And the good and bad, but it's not worth it. It's not worth the lack of diversity in getting to act.
Here's my devil's advocate point. If you choose A, the one where you're celebrated and you're in these big movies, that means that even though you have to play one-dimensional characters, it means that you... those movies have brought pleasure to so many people.
That's true.
So if you you step outside of the question, like your own desires of either wanting to be like a cool indie.
It's better for the world.
It's better for the world. Not better for the world necessarily, but
it's more net positive.
You're bringing more, potentially you're bringing more happiness to people.
Anyway, but great question, Chris. And back to Chris, she says, yay, you've reached the end of this letter. Love you both. Make it a spectacular day, boys. Chris. Wow. Well,
great letter.
Yeah, you really helped make it a spectacular day. Thanks, Chris. And thank you to everyone who's listening.
Thanks to Nicole.
Man, yeah, that was fun. That was a nice talk. And and nice for her to take the time because she's the busiest person in show business.
And now you should try to get on her podcast.
How do I do that?
I don't know.
Okay.
Reach out.
You know what? We texted because I had apologized about missing our first.
That'd be fun to be on her podcast.
That would be fun. Again, amazing. She is just that she has time to do all this.
I don't know how she does it.
I know. She is.
She is a worker.
She works hard. And thanks to her for taking the time and for all of you for listening. And Chris for that nice letter.
Sorry, I just dropped my bottle. And if you guys would like to write in, like Chris did.
Which you said in the beginning of the
show. I know, but I'm going to bookend here.
Oh, wow, okay.
Lifeisshort@wondery.com. And we'll talk to you all next week.
Life could be a dream. Life could be a dream. Doo-doo-doo-doo-shaboom.
Life is Short is hosted by me, Justin Long. It is co-hosted and produced by you,
Christian Long.
Also produced by Megan,
V.
Monaco and Katie,
V.
Alan. Senior producer is Michelle,
Mish.
Lands. And the audio engineer is Sergio
Enriquez.
And the man who occasionally goes out to a nice dinner, Marshall Louis.
He's also the executive producer of Life is Short.
Oh, yes. And we do it all for a company called Wondery.
Wondery.
What's the brown one?
Eel.
Anchovy?
Eel.
Eel. Ooh.
Will you stop
killing
my
sorry.
Excitement?
Just the thought of it. And she continues.
Remind me never to have sushi here again.
Speaking of, did you see that documentary, My Octopus Teacher?
Oh.
You saw it?
Oh, so beautiful.
Is it making you never want to eat octopus again?
Yeah, it's a cute little thing.
No, I didn't see it.
Oh, you did?
No, I want to.
Oh, it's so lovely.
Why? Didn't you want to eat octopus more?
No, not if they're like real, such sentient.
Yeah, but you won't know. You won't have a personal attachment
to know, at this point.
I always thought they were so big. They're not that big.
No, you're thinking of like Captain Ahab and like the giant squid, maybe?
Yeah, squid.
You're thinking of like a
but
kraken.
The octopus are so
they have giant squid. Yeah, the kraken.
You should know. It's so beautiful, that movie.
Hey, Prime members, you can listen to Life is Short ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today. Or you can listen ad-free with Wondery Plus and Apple Podcasts. Before you go, tell us about yourself by completing a short survey at wondery.com/survey.
Once upon a beat.
Remember the stories and fables that captured your imagination when you were young? We have a perfect podcast to bring you the stories you remember, remixed and reimagined for the kids in your life today. Yeah. Wondery and Tinkercast are bringing you a music-filled weekly party hosted by me, DJ Fuse, and my trusty turntable, Baby Scratch, spinning tales in the New Kids and Family podcast, Once Upon a Beat, where hip-hop and fables meet. Hey, grown-ups, listen to Once Upon a Beat early and ad-free right now on Wondery Plus.
Once Upon a Beat.